In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The daughters of Jerusalem were weeping as they saw Jesus carrying the cross to Calvary, crying at the sight of horrible suffering. Is not unique to Christians. Jesus said to them, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves." In those words, he was calling them to repentance. He says the same thing to us as we begin this Holy Week. We all need to realize how much we need him, and how little we can rescue ourselves. Contrition is the sorrow of a sinner's broken heart, a sorrow that God himself works in us by his word and spirit. It is to confess, "I have sinned. Lord, have mercy. Save me." Godly sorrow, the kind that is the miracle of the Holy Spirit, turns us to Jesus and to Jesus alone. Contrition is rarely a pleasant experience because it fights against our sinful pride and our attempts to find comfort or salvation in our own spirituality. Peter said, "Lord, I am willing to go both to prison and to death for you." And he wasn't. After the rooster crowed, he remembered Jesus' word, and he ran out of the courtyard of the high priest, weeping bitter tears. The godly sorrow of contrition is rarely pleasant to experience, but it is necessary. It was necessary for Peter, and it is necessary for us. After Peter was restored by Jesus' forgiveness, he was in a position to strengthen his fellow sinners with the grace and forgiveness that he himself received. Remember Jesus' words, "When you return, strengthen your brethren." The words of Jesus to the weeping daughters of Jerusalem are unique to the Passion according to St. Luke. It includes some strange sayings, and some of these sayings are actually drawn from the prophets in the Old Testament. "The days are coming in which they will say," and here's one of the quotations, "Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed." What a horrific thing to say. A sign of total hopelessness and despair. "Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" A wish for death to come. Those are terribly sad words. But those words, as sad as they are not the words of contrition and repentance. Instead, they are the words of hopelessness and despair. This is where self-reliance will inevitably lead, either to Pharisaical self-righteousness or when you come face to face with the futility of your own spirituality to save yourself, despair. With these words, Jesus describes what every one of us looks like without him. When there is so much unspeakable evil and suffering in the world, some may wish that they had never had children. Some may wish that it would be better for them if they had never been born. "Blessed are the barren. Let the mountains fall on us and the hills cover us." These are cries of despair and hopelessness. They're not the cries of faith. We should never confuse worldly sorrow and despair with the godly sorrow of contrition and faith. Contrition finds its rest and comfort in Jesus' forgiveness. And Jesus' forgiveness never leaves us in despair, no matter how painful the cross of affliction and suffering might be in our own lives. Jesus' forgiveness always restores hope, always, and the perspective of an eternal future is what we are given. Because contrition and repentance and the faith that lays hold of Jesus knows that it is through suffering that he brings us to glory. This does not mean that life is easy, nor does it mean that there are no challenges to life. We are still called, as Simon the Cyrenian was, to take up our cross and follow Jesus, who took up his cross for us. No matter how dark the times might be, no matter how great the suffering, no matter how intense the struggle, Christians always live in hope. And our hope is in Christ. Jesus is the Savior of sinners who live in an evil world and who have made so often a mess out of their own lives. A healthy understanding of godly contrition teaches each one of us that though we have sinned so horribly against God, he still loves us. He still loves us, and he has given his only Son to die for our salvation. That makes all the difference. The suffering and death of Jesus testify to the divine love of God that will never die. Christians live in the comfort of Christ's forgiveness and in the certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. By the grace of God, revealed in the passion and the passionate words of Jesus, one of the criminals who was crucified with Jesus was brought to contrition. He couldn't change his life. He couldn't relive his past. He couldn't undo the mistakes that he had made. He knew his punishment was just. He was a criminal, described by St. Luke as a rebel and a murderer. But Jesus' love for his enemies produced in that criminal the miracle of contrition and faith. Jesus prayed for him and for all who hurled insults at him, and for the chief priests and the elders of the people, and for his disciples, and for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How powerful those words were to this criminal. How comforting they are to us. They were spoken by an innocent man who had done nothing wrong and who willingly in love laid down his life for the unworthy. Powerful words brought that criminal to contrition and faith. Lord, remember me, he confessed, when you come into your kingdom. He could do nothing to save himself. In the hour of his death, he could only cling to Jesus. That is the picture of a Christian in his essence. And Jesus replied to him with words of absolution and hope. Today, you will be with me in paradise. I often contemplate the unique testimony that each of the evangelists gives. Only Luke records the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Only Luke records the words of despair in the daughters of Jerusalem. Only Luke records the repentant criminal Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Only Luke records Jesus' words, today you will be with me in paradise. Luke was associated with the Apostle Paul, who had been Saul of Tarsus and a persecutor of Christians. These words in Luke's eyewitness testimony must have been of great comfort to that one who now preached the gospel of God's grace that he once tried to destroy. If God can forgive the thief on the cross, if God can give the hope of salvation to a man like Saul of Tarsus, who would become the Apostle Paul, then he can give forgiveness and hope to you and to me. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.